So in the prayer today, Dallas actually reminded us of ultimately what our work is as we talk about a faith that works today. Ultimately what our work is go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Our great commission that we have been given. Ultimately, our work is to believe in Jesus Christ and to call others to believe in Jesus Christ. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26 says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, what faith apart from work? Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him. That he may be ashamed, do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." All right, well, that's a lot on work. A lot of work reading there. Did I get it all? Did I miss anything? Did I trip up on anything? You been following along? How many of you follow along when I'm reading scripture? Okay. Just wondering. I mean, it's fine sometimes, just want to sit back and listen too. I just kind of wondering. We're not saved by works. It is by grace that we've been saved through faith. We're saved by faith, by grace, through faith. It's God's work, not our work. But God looks for to see the fruit, which is the proving out of our salvation. If we're a different creation, because we've been joined with God, we're going to act and react differently. And we're going to produce works. We're going to have works. We are going to be fruitful, effective people in Christ. It's like you have sodium and chlorine. You know, the one could be poisonous and the other, you know, well, you join them together in salt, you know, saltiness. Once you join them together, it's a different quality. And it preserves. Sometimes it burns and purifies. Sometimes it just gives flavor. And your fruitfulness should be things like that. You should be giving flavor to the world, you know. And we need to step back and consider these things. And on a day when we are told rest, it's good to step back and say, how do I work? What am I about in my work? What's my attitude in my work? What is my attitude towards work? What was the curse for the man when they sinned?
Toil.
What?
Toil.
Toil? Yeah. Now when you said, because you kind of like, you were on the edge there a little bit, because if you would have said work, I would say no. But you said toil, and toil makes it seem like hard work, you know? And the curse was that the work became hard. I didn't know how to take you, because toil, I said, okay. And then over here, it kind of fleshed it out a little bit more, but yeah, it became hard. So it was a curse for the woman. Oh, having babies.
No.
Was that the curse?
No.
No, babies are a blessing, right? Babies are a blessing. Amen, pregnancy ministry people. Babies are a blessing, right? But what was the curse? The pain in the childbearing. I don't know many women who go through childbearing and say, like, oh, that was so fun.
They usually do it again.
But I think even the scripture even says that she forgets what she went through because of the joy of the child that she just received. So work is a blessing. Work is actually just part of how God made things, to, you know, steward this. And if you've ever had something that you steward, you enjoy stewarding it. If I putter around in the backyard and I'm working, you know, sometimes I'm even stewarding or weeding. I almost like to enjoy it, you know, until you get that weed point and it just breaks off right at the top and it's like, you know, and it's like some things are harder. Or maybe you got to dig it out. You know, I'm weeding and all of a sudden there's like a little patch of poison ivy. And it's like, oh, now this is complicated. You know, now how do I get that out and all that? So the toil of it, but work itself is a blessing. And you know that when you're doing something, when you're creating, when you're being fruitful, you know when you're kind of in that zone. You can even kind of feel it, even though you live in a land that is a land full of brokenness. Okay, so we came up with what, you know, that work is a good thing. And incidentally, someday, well done, my good and faithful servant, take charge of this many cities. Someday we'll get work. Isn't that wonderful? Someday we'll get work. It's like, what's heaven going to be like? Sitting on a cloud playing a harp, you know? Well, the millennial reign, heaven, there's going to be things to do. But it's not going to be all the complications of the hardship and the toil and the suffering and the sinful backbiting and nastiness of this world. Not going to be that kind of stuff. So now that we decided what is work, is there a difference between working for God and working out there in the world, working for man? Difference?
Sometimes the pay not very good, but the retirement's out of this world.
Okay, so the retirement with God is out of this world. That is true.
You should always be working for God, even if you're working for another person.
You should always be working for God. Yeah. Yeah. And when you say, like, sometimes the pay, it's not like, we realize that the riches are eternal, and we're storing up not here on earth, but up there. God gives us things to enjoy and blessings to enjoy, certainly, but we don't want to set our hearts on them because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so you're saying we should always be seeing that our work is for God. But don't we also, in our minds, sometimes try to separate the sacred and the secular? But to a Christian, everything is sacred. Now, I don't mean like everything that there's bad things out there that we say. I'm saying everywhere you go is to both supposed to be like holy ground for you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So everywhere you walk, God's temple is going out there, and you should care and think about how you represent yourself, how you represent the kingdom, and who you are in Christ everywhere you go. Christ. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, I shouldn't say that, I'm in church? You ever do that? You ever say that you yourself? I shouldn't say this in church. But everywhere you go, you're in church. You know that? Everywhere you go, you're in church. I mean, sometimes you actually meet with other people and it's even more churchified there, but you are the temple of God. So there is no sacred secular separation. So work. What is actual work then? What is actual, like, does it have to be something physical that you're doing? Is that what work is? Make you sweat? There is spiritual work and there's physical work, but everything is kind of all part of the same thing, too. All part of the same way that you look at things. And you know, one of the reasons I was thinking about this week is because, you know, there's people, good friends of mine, and probably family too, have at times told me, myself, they've told me, you think too much. I don't need you to say amen or make any kind of physical motions to agree with me on that. You know, but they say you think too much. And so this week I took quite a bit of time thinking about whether I think too much, and and I was thinking a lot about that.
So what do you think?
I'll tell you what I think. And I was thinking, and I went, and I took a long run, and I thought about it, and here's what I came up with, like, you know, I do think a lot, but I believe it's my work. I'm not saying everybody's work is the same work, but I was thinking that people call me pastor, and that's fine. I like Pastor Stacy. It's kind of like, you know, people have called me Reverend before. I'm not quite comfortable with that because that seems so high and lofty. But pastor's kind of like what you do. But it would probably be more of a reminder if people say Shepherd Stacy, although it would come out kind of sound weird to you and everything. But the pastor, that's technically what it is, a shepherd. And I'm thinking, the shepherd, like David, he was a king in the Bible that the Bible talks a lot about. And he's lifted up. Jesus even called the Son of David. He started out as a shepherd. I think that was good preparation for him for king. I think he thought about a lot of things in being a leader. But imagine on the hillsides, a lot of time to think. And while he's thinking, he's also watching over the sheep, making sure that they're not overgrazing certain lands and inviting parasites to come in there with all the mud and the track of their feces and stuff like that. He's making sure they move from one place to another, make sure they get fresh water, making sure that they are not in a place that's a wadi, like a dangerous place, or with maybe a flood would come through or something. He's making sure that he checks over their coat and their eyes and they're clean from mites and ticks and all those kind of things. He's making sure he watches over each and everyone individually, and making sure he watches them as a whole to make sure the bigger sheep are not butting the smaller sheep. Making sure he's watching out for wolves and watching out for bears and watching out for lions and different kind of things that might come along, or a hyena or something might come and pick off one of the weaker of the flock. And he's watching over the care of so many different things at the same time, and he's probably thinking about all these different things. And I'm thinking, the sheep, you hope the sheep have some sensibility and some discernment, that the sheep's not going to just, I mean, goats will pretty much eat anything, but sheep, you're hoping that they won't come along and say, oh, a bee, I think I'll try him, see what he tastes like. Or I think I'll try this stinging nettle or something, and I'll just eat some of this I've never eaten before. You'd hope they'd have some kind of discernment. But at the same time, you know the sheep are not constantly concerned about all those things. In fact, part of the idea of a sheep is that a sheep can rest because he has a shepherd that is spending a lot of time thinking. And I'm thinking, if a sheep would have a little voice, he might say, "Shepherd, chill out. You're thinking too much. Let's just eat the next thing that comes along, and let's just go over here." Or, "Shepherd, hey, it's all right. That wolf, maybe he's nice. We're fluffy. He's fluffy. Seems like we're kind of in the fluffy clan. Let's just get along. Why don't we all just get along?" And the sheep might just say, "Shepherd, calm yourself down." But the shepherd, his job is like thinking. I spent a lot of time reading, contemplating when I'm working on stuff. Like, I didn't let Lisa just do all the power washing. I started off doing the power washing until I was power washing stuff all over me, and it was just such, and I came in, I said, "I'm done power washing for today." It was just a messy, messy, messy job. And there were other things to do as well for that day. But when I'm doing a job that takes a long time, I put Scripture iPod on and I listen to it. Because I figure the best preparation for preaching, for teaching, for evangelizing is just having as much of the Word of God in me as possible. And so that's what I do. That's what I'm steeping, and I'm thinking, and sometimes when I go run, I'm reciting to make sure I don't forget the things I've already memorized, and then sometimes I intentionally don't recite because I want to meditate on what I already know. Because if you're just always trying to memorize and you're not thinking about what you've already memorized, you're not chewing the cud. You're just, you're bringing it back up, but you're not chewing it. So I'm trying to chew a little bit too. So I'm thinking about all these things because I'm trying to watch over everything. And I think it's natural for a sheep to think that the shepherd does think too much, but I think it's part of the calling of the shepherd to contemplate and to constantly be in a kind of a mode of contemplation. Not that you shouldn't take time to seriously meditate on the Word of God, but I think there's different things that go along with callings. And some of you work a lot more physically than I do, and that's part of your calling, but that's not to say that that's not a spiritual endeavor as well. I'm just saying my spiritual endeavor is more contemplative, more cerebral perhaps, but that's just how I am. Like, I love to hear you guys when you're singing a song that you all know. I plan a lot of songs that we've sung before. Just because I like when you know the song well enough that you just get into singing it, and maybe you're harmonizing a little bit, and I tend to know the songs you like, and then so I make sure there's some songs I know you like and you know well in the set, especially if there's a new song in it, or a song I know you don't know quite so well, or a song that has a little syncopation in it, And I try to think about those all those things. And like today, we did the song, Oh Praise the Name. And I thought about that more than once. Before I thought about it for another section, before we did it this week, I thought that verse, the angels roar, I thought, well, there's not a verse in the Bible that says the angels roar. Are the angels really roaring? Because sometimes when it gets to a poetic kind of sound, a poetic kind of line, a lyric, I think it might sound wonderful, but is it biblical? And so I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know what? If you look about the worship, when you see heavenly pictures of worship in the Bible, and you see a whole bunch of people together, or a whole bunch of angels together saying, like, holy, 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 all those sounds together with all the angels that are saying it at once, that would sound like something of a roar. Something, it would sound like a groundswell. You know, like when you're at the bleachers at the basketball game and everybody's just stomping on the bleachers at the same time. It would sound like a roar. But you know, that thought went through my mind. But it probably didn't go through yours. Because when you get here to worship, I don't want you as sheep to have to be like analyzing everything. I actually want you to have the comfort and the rest and the joy of knowing that all your worship has been pre-thought. And I hope very well pre-thought, because that's my calling, or a praise leader's calling, or other people on the praise team's calling. That's their calling, to do that kind of thought. And we do the same thing with people who teach and volunteer and stuff like that. One time I was in Greencastle, and I was a pastor there for like 16 years. I've been a pastor for like for over 30 years. But I was a pastor there, and somebody came into my office who was a new volunteer who had been working in the children's department. And now, I found out in a conversation with her, maybe it was even at this time in that office, that she talked talked about a relative that really was interested in world religions or something. So, interesting. But when she came into my office, the first thing she said, as I recall, was, "You people sure talk a lot about Jesus here." Now she said, "You people sure talk a lot about Jesus here." Now I want you to go back a little bit, because some of you all are a little older folks, but imagine if you had small children being taught in the department in school, and you knew that a person who was going to be working with your child, their thoughts were like, "You people sure talk a lot about Jesus here." Would you have a little concern? I mean, I had some concern, because that's my job, to kind of oversee things as a shepherd. And I'm not sure how long she served or anything, but it was something that made me think way back then, you know, does this person really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if they really adore Jesus Christ because of what they've done in saving their own life, makes you wonder, would they be coming with a question, or with a statement, "You people sure talk a lot about Jesus here." Like, well, this is the church. This is his church. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we love Jesus and talk about him all the time? So it's not, I don't even know how it all fleshed out. And I tried to be kind and explain things and teach things along the way to a lot of people. And there's a lot of training along the way. But I'm just trying to tell you that there's a lot of things that need to be thought about. And that is a spiritual work with me. Kind of thinking and trying to understand all these things. Because the Bible says in Ephesians, it says about, well, this is verse 11 of chapter 4. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers," so they're all plural, so they're a bunch of people, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Okay, I'm stopping right there. It's a comma. But listen, do you hear that? A lot of people even pay their pastor to do the ministry, right? According to the definition of the Bible, what does this say my job is? To equip you, your saints, you know that? Do you know your saint? Your saints. The Bible doesn't give any qualification to being a saint besides, you know, being in the Lord. You're a saint. But equipping the saints for the work of ministry. I'm supposed to equip you to do the work. And you're all supposed to be about that work, right? Saving souls. Didn't our brother today just say in his prayer, praying that everybody be able to lead somebody to Jesus this week, right? Because that's your work. That's what you're supposed to be about. And even if you don't lead somebody to Jesus, that should be in your mind that you're going to try to see where the Lord's working. Maybe you can bring somebody closer to that day. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we're equipping the saints to do the work, and as we're doing the work, the whole body is growing together until we all become mature and unified together. Because if we're all about the same work, reading the same book, we get unified. And then it says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. But you see, it's equipping the saints to do the work, to get the unity, and so we are not deceived. And it's about all those things that the shepherd's watching over, right? Not deceived by poisonous plants or by predators or by anything or by stagnant water or anything. We're just going to continue working and growing together. But all of that is work, and we're supposed to be about the work and be busy about it. Taking the time of rest when the shepherd says, you know, he makes me lie down by the green pastures, right? When the shepherd makes you lie down, you rest when you need to rest. Like yesterday, we were working a lot. And then today, because we worked so much, I saw other little things that still could be done from yesterday's work. And it was like hard for me to say, no, I'm not going to do that little bit. That I had to pull myself back. Because when you're getting, it's like you're a freight train and it's hard to stop it, you know? So that was hard. But God does want us to be busy, but not busy bodies. That means you stick to your own work, not to everybody else's, right? You work in team when you go to Texas and do stuff, right? Everybody does their own job, right? Do they appreciate when one person goes from their own job and tries to do other people's jobs and stuff? I mean, pretty much everybody's got their own place, right? Like a well-orchestrated machine. And so we need to respect each other, and we need to make sure we're doing what God has called us to do. Be busy about our own work, but not busybody about everybody else's work. And we also want to make sure that we're using what we got. Like for me, the study and the thinking and everything works because I'm delivering a message on Sunday, delivering a message Sunday night, and teaching Sunday night, teaching Thursday night, and trying to see people up throughout the week and everything, and counseling and stuff, you know, that works for me. But you need to think about, why are you imbibing? Why are you taking in the Word of God? Why are you thinking about, why are you studying and listening to songs and filling yourself up with all this? What is this? Because love puffs, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, right? And love is an action word. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, right? I mean, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it gives you a whole list. Love is this, this, this. And it's all like action type stuff. So why do you do what you do? My brother John, he works out. He pumps iron, you know? Why does he do that? Why does he do that? I run, you know? Why do I run? It's like when God gives you strength, when God gives you ability, when God heals your hand, you got to ask him, what does God want you to do with that hand when he's healed it? You know, you got to ask yourself these things, because if you're just building up your body so you can look in the mirror and say, huh,
oh yeah.
If that's, is that what you do? No.
I outgrew that.
You outgrew that? All right. There's an honest man. I used to do that. Yeah. And sometimes that does go along with you. You know, I remember Garrison Keillor. He's telling some fanciful story about how, and I told you this before, it's like, when you're young, you know, you're in the shower and you're saying, oh, I've got the most beautiful body in the world, you know. And when you're older, then you're in the shower and you're like, somebody ought to glue some treads down there. Somebody's going to slip and this is not going to be pretty. And you're gonna, your thoughts get different, you know. But really, in a mature way of thinking, if God has given you strength and ability, you ask, like, what is that for? Yeah? So when I see my friend show up, the first guy here for the men's prayer breakfast, and I'm out there trimming a bush, I'm like, hey, help me carry some of this stuff, will you? And of course he's going to help me, you know? Because he's got enough muscle, he can probably almost lift that dog that he owns. You think? And you bench press Bernie?
Oh, yeah.
So think about what God has given you and how to work. And do you consider that everything is a spiritual task? That everything is something that God's concerned with? I keep this little book in my library, Practicing the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. I keep this little book in my library because he talks about things in a way that is interesting. Like if he's cleaning the kitchen, that is worship. Do you ever think of doing something like that as being worship? You know, if I'm doing something, if I'm cleaning the kitchen, you know, I could like call down to my wife and say, hey, come up here and do some of these dishes. Or I could be like, she's downstairs making something. She's going to put a scripture on the bottom. She's going to bless people with the relationship she has because of it. And I could be a servant to her now. And I could do this unto the glory of God. And I could do this as an offering of worship to God as I do this. And if I put my scripture on, that's even more so. But you know what I'm saying? I could look at just that. Like our buddy Glenn there, you know, he does a lot of different things around the church and everything. When you see, and he's done extra since our good friend Mike has had some, you know, some trouble that's laid him on the shelf for a little bit, you know? But he's going to get back up again full strength real soon. Praise the Lord. But still, you know, when you go out there and you see it and things are like taken care of, and it's not just one time you did it, oh, thanks a lot, that's great. It's just like a constant kind of thing. Things are taken care of. You know, it's like, can you not see that as like worship, devotion, a love for your church, not ultimately a love for God? People just doing simple little things. Brother Lawrence, this guy, he calls himself Brother Lawrence, he says, take care to start your work, continue in your work, and finish your work with an inner lifting of your heart to God, because it takes time and effort to develop this habit. You don't need to be discouraged when you fail. The great difficulty you experience in developing this practice will be matched by the great joy you experience when it is in place. We talked about yesterday we talked about the guy who in our fellowship who works at the car place, you know, and how when you do an excellent job that other people could not do, and you just do it, and you do it as well as you can, you think in your mind the Great Commission. You think about saving souls. You think about telling people about Jesus. You think about discipling people on the way or getting them saved. And you think, I'm doing something as unto the Lord that's going to be so good that people are going to say, wow, how did you do this? And you say, I do it unto the Lord. Or I'm just trying to please my master. I don't know. You just somehow bring Jesus into it, you know? And it's your platform from which you speak, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And if you are not the most eloquent person, but you're a really good worker, I tell you, work, and then somebody will eventually notice it. And work when you think nobody's paying attention, because God's paying attention, and it could be that He'll bring along somebody that doesn't even know. Jenny saw me working yesterday. I didn't even know she was there. I totally ignored her. She rode by with her bike twice while I was trying to talk to some friends of ours. And I was challenging this one friend on one or two things. And we had a wonderful discussion. And our friends, and I got, they gave a lot of peace and a lot, and it was such joy to be back together again. And I understood some things I didn't understand before, but I was so intense in that discussion. But I was there singing and playing and doing things, trying to minister and stuff, but she saw me working and I didn't even see her, and she drove right by me twice. Like right by me. So work as unto the master. Even if you think nobody's paying attention, and maybe somebody is, but He's always, and works so well that people somewhere along the way are going to ask you why you are working so well. And if you say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher, and how hard is it to say, Jesus? It's Jesus Christ. What do you mean it's Jesus Christ? He likes when I do stuff like this. I don't know. You can figure it out to say that as lame as you possibly could, but if you put Jesus Christ there and just say that's the reason, then you're going to shine. So, whether you think you have spiritual work or whether you think you have physical work, keep on doing it. And your chief shepherd, C-H-I-E-F, chief shepherd, when He appears, He will be very pleased with you. And sometimes it's just a little thing. Like Daniel, praying 3 times a day and choosing not to change what he is doing right with God. Just not changing. Sometimes it's just keeping on, keeping on. So just keep on filling up for God and being attentive to Him. Listen to Him. It says, we studied this book recently, Colossians. 2 verses in it, it says, in 3:17 it says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, whatever you do,
I had that as a scripture on a board at our house one time, and one of our friends came, and I was complaining about something, some minor thing.
Okay, so Lisa
thing.
Said they had this. We had this scripture on a board at our house, and one of our friends came to the house. When it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We had that verse. And Lisa at the time was complaining about something. And then what did he say?
He said, I think you need to look at that verse that you painted on that board.
He said, I think you need to look at that verse you painted on that board. Wow.
He was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
I know. Yeah. Wow. That's something. So we have that verse. And verse 23 of the same chapter. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, we have a brother who's going to start a new job soon, and I'm thinking like, oh, wow, this is a great sermon for a new job because you don't know what you're stepping into. But I want to tell you that this verse says no matter what you're stepping into. In fact, you know, if I take a flashlight to the beach, I can hardly see it lit until at night when we're looking for the little crabs and stuff, you know, that dart into the holes. I can hardly see it lit until it gets dark. But I'm saying even if it's not the greatest experience you have, your light can shine all the greater for Jesus Christ if you keep in mind who you're ultimately serving. And some people might even think, why are you working so hard when this place is so lousy? You know, I don't know. But sometimes it makes a whole bunch of people think about it because there are some jobs out there where everybody's getting a paycheck and nobody really cares that much about it. And the guy who actually does his job is the guy that everybody hates because, hey, you're making us look bad. Right? Have you ever had a job like that? But you're not trying to make them look bad. You're trying to make your master look good, which he is good. You just want him to be magnified, just like something far off, like some planet far off that you want to show people just a little bit of what it's like. You're trying to magnify God to them by the way you do your work. And you need to just not think about the others and not think about this, that, or the other thing. And remember even Daniel, even when he kept on going, he had some rough times. They even threw him in a den of lions. But you know what? Eventually, he does fine. He even goes, Daniel is so unique in the Bible. He goes through kingdoms. You know, here's a guy, a God, who does not give up and keeps on doing his work to the best of God's ability within him. He doesn't give up. And look at how many kings he goes through. I mean, Daniel's still there. Somebody was just lifting up about a senator who just, you know, passed on to the Lord. And just one of the things that you see about some people is that they're still there. They're still there. So I know we're brethren in Christ, and we're like, this is the kingdom of God, and this is the kingdom of the world, and we have a separatistic idea about the world out there. But we are in the world, but not of the world. It's like the water and the ship. The ship needs to be in the water, although every once in a while you take it off dry dock and power wash it because it gets kind of filthy and gets barnacles and stuff. So you take it out, you clean it up, but you put it in the water. It needs to be in the water. But if the water gets in the ship, that's not healthy. I mean, they have planned wakes in the ship and stuff like that. But I'm talking about water seeping in the seams. That's not healthy. So that's what shepherds kind of watch over the seams and such. We pray in the Holy Spirit that God blesses Canoe Creek Brethren in Christ Church. And we'd be in the world, not of the world, working well, working faithfully. Whether you see your job as more spiritual or more physical, then it's all spiritual. And it's all meant to save souls for Jesus Christ. So may God continue to protect us and give us peaceful lives away from the wickedness of this world. But let us do our good work. Even as we travel through this world from week to week, we come here on a Sunday morning and build each other up. And then go back into the world and try to do his good work. May the Lord be pleased with us as willing workers, doing well with a good attitude. No matter what attitudes other people give you, may your attitude be a sweet smell to Jesus Christ. Amen.